It's all gonna be advanced.
Yeah, we'll never
get it. They don't want to worry about that. They don't want to.
The Rambam in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Gimel, it's a lengthy halacha, which we've done in the past. And he's talking about a case where, well, he's talking about all sides. If they find them innocent, fine. If not, they have to reconvene Lamachras. And on Lamachras, as he describes it, Mashkim and Lebezdin, Lamachras, Mashkim and Lebezdin, they get up early to Bezdin. Hamazaka Omer, Anihu Hamazaka, Umazaka Anibim Komi. Vamachayev Omer, Anihu Hamachayev, Umachayev Anibim Komi. Alright, so the Mazaka retains his position, because he can't change at this point. The Machayev says, Anihu Hamachayev, and he has two choices. Either he says, Machayev Anibim Komi, or he says that I'm Machayev, I retain my position, or Chazarti Bi. He can't change to Mazaka. He has a choice. Because he may have changed his mind, and now he is a Mazaka. We put a lot of work into this Rambam. And if we made a mistake regarding two people who are Mechayev or Mazaka because of one Tom, and they're only considered to be as one Tom, Hare Sofrei Hadayorin Maskirin Osan. The scribes remind them, Sharei Kosvin Tam Shal Kol Echad V'Echad, because they write the Tam of each person. Then Umaskirin Lembedino. Then they begin the trial. Imatzlos Chos Patru V'im Hutzruchu LaHosef Mosifin, and so on and so forth. Then Ravu Hamachayvin V'Neschayev. If the majority, if the convictors were in the majority, as we know it has to be by two, so then they take him out to be killed, and so forth. He just seems to be saying in a casual way, Sharei Kosvin, Tam Shal Kol Echad, it's a natural thing. They write the Tam of each one. The Rambam in Aleph Tes says, Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Sanhedrin, wherever you have Sanhedrin, Yiyu Sham Shnei Sofer Dayanim, Omdim Lefneim, Echad Min HaYamin, V'Echad Min HaSmol. That there are two scribes, one on the right, one on the left, Echad Kosev Divrei HaMachayvin, V'Echad Kosev Divrei HaMazakin. And one writes the Tam of the Machayvin, one of the Mazakin. If you take a look at Yud, V'Lama Ein Sanhedrin El Be'ir Sheyesh Ba'Mei V'Yesrim. So now the Rambam explains why you can only have Sanhedrin in a city that has at least 120 people. That's the minimal. And he goes to explain, in order that you can have Sanhedrin of 23, then you have to have three rows of 23 Talmidim. And then he says, Ushnei Sofrim, Ushnei Chazanim, Ushnei Balei Dinin, Ushnei Edim, Ushnei Zomim, and so on and so forth. This is the minimal. The minimal which would enable you to have a situation of dinin nefashos. So two sofrim seem to be essential. I'm going to throw out a possibility over here, because I think it's not so simple. It's complicated, but I'm throwing this out by way of an attempt. And even if it doesn't go to the final, you know, point of explanation, I think it's something. Is that what Tosfos is saying is about the gzeira of Shema Yichtov, which applies by Dinei Mamonos, and of course by Dinei Mamonos you're not going to have a distinction between day one and day two, because Dinei Mamonos doesn't have to have 2 days. So you can't have Dinei Mamonos on Shabbos. And Dinei Nefashos, if it should be the second day, would not be a problem. What he's saying is, it's because the ksiva, it's only also when the ksiva is really an essential component of the Din Torah, and that's of course when there's Masu Matan. It's only when the ksiva is essentially related to the process of judgment that's taking place. So as far as Dinei Mamonos is concerned, well, whether or not you're mechuyev to write down, or not mechuyev to write down, as you are by Dinei Nefashos, it doesn't matter. That's not what it matters to us, is that that's just the way things are done. That is to say that when Dayanim get together and they listen to the Eidos and then they formulate their opinions, so they write them down. So there's a intrinsic, the Ksiva is part of the process. The Ksiva is an intrinsic part of the process. So even if you're going to tell me that you can be done without the Ksiva, because nothing that says you can't be done without the Ksiva. But where is an intrinsic part of the process for whatever reason, so then you can't do it on Shabbos, because it's intrinsically related. And that's the whole idea of Gzeira. Gzeira, when you're saying you can't do activity A because it will lead to activity B, you have to show that there's some kind of an intrinsic connection between the two. Just any possibility. That's the formulation of the Chacham and all the Gzeros. Riding a horse has to be connected to pulling a branch. So maybe Bizman HaZeh, it's a different situation. But in those days, there was an intrinsic connection between the two. Swimming was intrinsically connected to putting together some type of a raft, you know, to help a person paddle, or whatever it was. Whether that's the case, the situations change. It's a different story. If the Chacham were considering these issues with Bizman HaZeh, so there'd be a different framework, and it's reasonable to say that they would not have prohibited many of the things. Doesn't matter. That was the framework, and they were prohibited, and we don't have the ability to change, so that's the way it is. Now, this is what Tosfos is saying, is that as far as the issue of Dan being Dan, in order to answer it, there's got to be a connection, an intrinsic kind of a connection with Ksiva. So, in Dine Mamanis, there's an intrinsic connection. Now, what about Dine Nefashos? Dine Nefashos, so it seems there's a greater connection, because there's not just a convenience, it's a chiyuv. You have to write it down. And that's the procedure. The procedure is, we have an institution of two sofrei dayanim. So, Tosfos is saying that that's true on the first day, because the relationship between Din and Ksiva has to do with recording the Tamar. And that's the activity which is done on the first day. Because that's the first day is the essential day of Masa Umatan. It's the essential day of Masa Umatan. It's the time when the positions are being formulated, and that's his position. His position must be recorded. It's a chiyuv to record his position. So that's already been fulfilled on day one. On day two, it's a different phenomenon. Now we have the record. Essentially, day two is for Gemar Din. As we've learned, it's for Gemar Din. That's the essential kviyas. Of course, it's true that the Masa Matan takes place as well. It doesn't mean it can't. Then, of course, it's true that you have these possibilities of change. Yeah, but that's not intrinsic. That's accidental. See, in other words, the difference is that on day two, it's an accidental phenomenon. You may, by and large, you have the record. That's what he says. They wrote it ready from yesterday. They have the record. The chashash is that you'll create the desire to create a record. That's the problem that we're concerned about. That Beis Din is not going to sit down and establish a record, so to speak, without committing it to writing. So you've already established the record. You've already committed it to writing. Now the other things you're talking about are it's a chashash rachok already. It's a different phenomenon. So it is true. It's possible that somebody will change his opinion. It's possible. And you may say, one second, doesn't it have to be recorded? Because let's take the case that I raised, the case that, according to Rashi, if he finds a new Tam Machal, it's going to require a new Halada. So doesn't that have to be recorded? Well, you can record it after Shabbos. So record it after that. All we're saying is it has to be recorded. It doesn't have to be recorded that minute. You can make a point, record it after Shabbos. So tomorrow, when they consider it, they'll see what his Tam was yesterday. That's true. So on day three, we'll say, this is what you said yesterday. So on day four, he has yet another time. Fine, the record will be there. No one says it has to be written down this minute. So then you see, you've established that it is possible to conduct Dine Nefashos without Ksiva. The only question is of the chashash, Shema Yechtov. What the Tosfos is saying is that Vet Chashash is on the first day. Because the first day, the whole purpose of the first day is to formulate, to establish your tam. And that's intrinsically connected to Ksiva. So when you have that intrinsic connection, so then the Gzeira will kick in. But on the second day, you don't have that anymore because you've already established a record and that's what you're working from. So therefore, there's no Chashash. Because that's, in fact, I mean, Tosfos doesn't say that. In fact, I was thinking of a different thing, a different reason. But Tosfos doesn't say it. I was thinking that there's less reason to fear by Dini Nefashos than by Dini Mamonos. Because by Dini Nefashos, it's not just an accidental thing. You have an institution of Shnei Sofer HaDeyonin. So basically, to assure that you won't have a problem, just cancel the Shnei Sofer HaDeyonin. That's a simple answer. The Chashash exists if you have the Sofer, and they're sitting there with their pens, and remember, don't write, it's Shabbos. So one second, he may forget that it's Shabbos and write down. But all you have to do is, when you convene the Vezdin, convene without the Shnei Sofer HaDeyonin. Why can't you do that? That would be a simple solution. But anyways, Tosfos doesn't choose that answer. I'm not sure why not. But nevertheless, what Tosfos is saying is that I think that that's what he's saying, that the essence of the point that he's making is that the basis for the Gezeira presupposes a certain connection between the act of being Dan, of judgment, and the Ksiva. And he says that takes place on Day Rishon in the formulation of the Tamim. So essentially, day one is formulation of the Tamim, and that's what you need a record for. And the record is established, and from that record, you go into day two. If you have to go into day two, you base yourself on the record of day two. And day two is not intrinsically connected. A situation may arise. It's possible that a situation would arise, but that's different already. See, it's different because there's no basis for a gezeira. The basis for a gezeira is when people are functioning in their normal manner. So when you're functioning in your normal manner, and you're doing something which normally is connected with writing, and you want to do that on Shabbos, and you'll say, but I won't write on Shabbos, then there's a basis for a gezeira. Because if you have a certain type of a class, not learning or Torah, whatever, let's say you have a certain type of a class, and everybody takes notes. So you want to have that class on Shabbos, assuming the subject matter, it's a history class. Assuming the subject matter would be amenable, it would be Jewish history. And you'll say, yeah, we'll do that, we'll do it on Shabbos, and no one will take notes. Then I would say no, because since that activity is normally associated with taking notes, so that's exera, because I'm sure a person will operate in terms of his normal behavior. So that's what I think he's saying, that in terms of the relationship between ksiva and judging, that has to do with ksivas atamim at the time when everybody's formulating their tam. That's day rishon. But day sheni is a different kind of a day. So a situation may arise accidentally, which generally speaking you would have ksiva. But the mentality is a different mentality. The nature of the activity on day two is not any longer related to ksiva because the record has been established on day rishon. The question is being raised as to whether isn't it true that the whole purpose of Alana is to create the possibility that the one who is Malamei Chov will switch to Schus? Yeah, it could be, because there are two reasons that are brought down. Yeah, there are two sources for this idea of Alana in the Gemara, on Lamed Hei. One was Milesi Mishpat, Tzedek Yalanba, the Atam Aratzchem. So Rashi explains, Tzedek Yalanba, Regilin Hayu Mitchila, Lahalan Es Adin. They were in the habit at the beginning to postpone the din overnight, Kedei Letzatko, in order to find him innocent. V'yata k'she'ein osinkach, harehen k'maratzchem. And now that they don't do it, They're like killers. Now the other one was Ashru Chamot. Ashru Dayan Shemachame Tezdino. So Rashi says Shemachame Tezdino. Chimots means to sort of like leaven, to give it time, to let it develop, so to speak. Shemasha Oso, who delays it, Umalino, and overnight, Kidei Lahotzio Lamito, in order to bring forth in accordance with truth. So it seems that the basic idea is that for the second idea is has to do, there's two aspects to the din. One is in terms of the Amitas Adin. That's, by the way, that's at that point we went into the study of the Rav Chaim. That one of the functions is two concepts in Bezdin. One is that only Bezdin has the Matir, that the Chefta Shel Bezdin is essential to the Matir of Dini Nefashos. And then there's another concept. So for that we have the idea of Rubo Kukulo. That even if you don't have everybody on the Bezdin, but the Rove defines the Bezdin, and it's really as though everybody on the Bezdin is now going along with it. So you have the power of Bezdin. Then you have the other din of Azlidim Bosa Ruba, that the Rove is a mechanism to clarify the MS. It's a halach in the MS, because it's not just Bezdin has the brute power to do whatever they want, they have to do so in accordance with MS. So the reason I went into that, and we were supposed to go back over here, was I wanted to show that this could be the machlokis in terms of halana. Because is halana a function of amitas adin in din nefashos? That degree of MS is required in terms of the verdict? Of course, the verdict for guilt, the verdict for innocent is a different level of MS, because there you have the phenomenon of the hitzilu. So as long as you have a degree of MS, so it's mishpat, which qualifies for mishpat, that's fine. But in terms of dinei nefashos for conviction, you have to have your ashru chamot. That level of clarification of the truth of the amitas hadavar is a different standard. Or in the first case, it says no. So there it's not necessarily lahatzala. It's not a question of hatzala. Listen carefully. According to the first version, it's halacha in the validity of the psak din. The validity of the psak din, in terms of chov, is dependent upon the fact that it was subjected to a certain amount of deliberation. It's a shear in the deliberation, but it affects the very validity of the psak din. The truthfulness of the din, of the Gemara din, it has to be true. That's what Rav Chaim was talking about. So in terms of the truthfulness, in terms of the validity of the psak din, shel chov, it has to be subjected to that's ashru chamot. The first one, however, seems to me that no. So it's a separate point that that's why you see, as far as what Nissan is saying right now. So then according to this, it's not Latzala. It's not Latzala. It's just that the Gemar, the din itself, the Gemar din, the Chefzah Shel Psak of Chayiv Misa does not have validity unless it's been subjected to a process of delay, deliberation. Now, according to the first pshat, however, what's the difference? Having said this, what's the difference? The Atamaratzcha means that Bezdin does not just have the power to arbitrarily kill, there's an Isser of Ritzicha. And that Isser of Ritzicha, in order for Bezdin to convict and execute, well, one second, but people always raise this. I mean, the two wrongs make it right, he murders, and now you're murdering. We say differently, but even so, we have to take that into consideration. That in order for you to judge and execute, that means to say that there must be a matir, because otherwise it's an iser ritzicha. You're killing someone. So therefore, the phenomenon of Bezdin, the fact that Bezdin has been entrusted to Dan Dini Nefashos, means that they've been given a matir. And then the iser ritzicha. Oh, so then the question is whether the halacha of halana is a din in the matir of bezdin. That, yeah, when do you have a matir? When you have made the sufficient, what we regard to be as a sufficient amount of effort to find the tzad of innocence. And only then, and part of that requirement is the requirement of halana. That you cannot condemn him and execute him unless you have subjected yourself to the process of halana. Letzatko, Rashi says, you see? Letzatko, to find the tzad of innocence. And if you don't do so, if you don't do that, so you're meratzchim, it's ritzicha. So it's lacking in the matir of Bezdin to conducting the nefashos and to execute people. That's the difference between the two positions. As far as Tosfos is concerned, what I believe he's saying is that the kfiyas of Bezdin on Yom Rishon is different. That's a kfiyas which is inherently connected to ksivas. But the kfiyas Bezdin of Yom Sheni is not, because you already have a record. You're going to work from that. Now, that just because I showed you cases which might necessitate a desire to write or whatever, fine. But we're not concerned about that. So we'll deal, we won't write. That's not, you understand. In other words, it's only where the kfiyas itself is intrinsically connected to the act of writing, then you have a problem. If it's not, it's just that it can come up and you might have a problem, so then we're not concerned because people will remind each other, don't write, you can't write. The whole mindset is different. It's a whole different situation. That's what I'm trying to show. In that environment, in that situation, which is unrelated to ksiva, I'm not worried if a particular case comes up and someone will want to write, we'll say, no, don't write. We'll do it after Shabbos. But on the second day, if you're talking about ksiva, you have to say, that's gone because there's a chashash. Maybe something will happen. Ah, but that already shows you it's not intrinsically connected. The only time you may even want to write that is because maybe something will happen which will be new, and that should be written out, fine. But that's not sufficient to create an iser of being done because of that, because that's just a chashash. It's too far removed. But the first day, it's intrinsic. I just want to reiterate over here. Dina nefashos is different than dina mamonos. In Dine Nefashos, you don't have that day of the beginning and then the concluding day. Unless they just want to continue, because of whatever reasons, but that's a separate idea. It's not like the beginning and the end. And if that's the case, we're not going to make a distinction between day one and day two on Dine Nefashos, because there's no qualitative distinction to make. But in the structure of Dine Nefashos, the very structure itself calls for 2 days. In the case of conviction, there's a day of Rishon, and then there's a day of Gemar Din, there's a day Sheni, which has a qualitatively different aspect to it. That's what Tosfos is saying about it, that the in terms of Dine Nefashos, Yom Sheni is going to be different, even than Dine Mamonos. Because on Yom Sheni, you have a new situation, and that is to say that you don't have to create the record already has been created. So you're in a situation where you're going to be creating a record, that's where you have the chashash of Shema Yichtov. But where you're in the situation when the record has already been created, and you're working from a record, so then already the chashash of Shema Yichtov is removed. And anything else, there's always a possibility. But just because there's a possibility, it doesn't stand in the same connection anymore. That the din that you're being engaging in on Yom Sheni is not one which is intrinsically connected to ksiva, because the record has already been created. So basically, what we see from this is that when a court presides, they create a record of what they're doing. So in Dini Nefashos, Dini Mamonos, you can't do it. In Dini Nefashos, the same thing. But on the second day, you already have the record. So once the record is there, so then the whole chashash of Shem Yichtov is removed. All right, so Louis Barbanel is providing the answer to my question.
I meditate.
That is my question as to why not simply eliminate the institution of Shnei Sofer HaDeanin. He's saying you can't do that. It's clear in Tosfos. Because they must be there to verify what everybody's saying. Or if someone has forgotten this time and so forth. So the two Sofrim have to be there. So once the two Sofrim have to be there, and their books, their record books have to be there, so then there's grounds to raise the question of Shema Yichtov. So that eliminates my attempted answer. Shkeach to Mr. Barbanel. So my answer is out of the picture. Tosis reigns supreme. Tosis therefore is at pains because Tosis doesn't go through the steps, but he assumes we understand that you can't function on Yom Sheni without the Shnei Sofer Dayanin. So they're going to be there. So why aren't we concerned? Shema Yichto. So there, I believe he's saying is because the connection is no longer. That's already it. They've done their job. The stuff from the essentially, by and large, they've done their job, and the need for further ksiva is really inconsequential. It's only a possible thing. It's not essential. The essential function of the sofrim takes place on day one, to write. On day two, to remind, but not to write. So that's it. So therefore, there'd be no basis to include Yom Sheni because of the chashash. It would be on Yom Sheni a chashash rachok. If it's a chashash rachok, so it's not a problem. However, on day one, and in Dine Mavinus, it's not a chashash rachok. All right, Tosos, Ein Ritzicha Doches HaShabbos. All right, so what's Tosos really concerned with? The issue over here is that you can't execute the criminal on Shabbos. So, in order to understand that, you have to understand why it would be a Chilul Shabbos. Well, what exactly would be the Chilul Shabbos? And so, Achara, of course, Shochet, to take a life. Is a malacha. You're not allowed to slaughter an animal on Shabbos, and that extends to all taking of life on Shabbos. So that's basically would seem to be the answer. But it's not that pashut. So Tosfos says this: b'sreifa nichalei, afilu man diyama makalkel ba'avara pater. The yeshba chil Shabbos mishum psila. The amar mali bishul psila, mali bishul samamanim. Stop. Tosis is concerned from the standpoint we have to look specifically at the nature of Misas Besdin, of the executions. So there's four different kinds of executions: stoning, sword, death by the sword. Then there's chenek, is choking, and burning, sreifa, burning. But the sreifa that we're talking about is not externally, that is to put them in a fire. Immolation.
Put the fire in him.
See, Torah says, "Afilu mandiyam makalkel b'havara," because that's a principle in all malachos. That malachos, you're only chayiv if they're constructive. If they're not makalkel. For example, just loosely speaking, if a person tears down a building, that's soser. So that's destructive. It's makalkel. So is he chayev or isn't he chayev? Well, it all depends. If it's so ser almanas livnos, that is very often you want to rebuild or you want to build a bigger building. So if it's so ser, if you tear down a building as part of a process of building a higher or a newer building, whatever, so that's constructive. It's not makalkel. But if it's just for no reason at all, it's just soser, so then it's destructive. So it's lacking in the characteristic of being constructive. It's makalkel. So by and large, the general principle is that even if a person does the activity, which normally would be considered a malacha, but if it's makalkel, if it's destructive, so then it's not considered midiraisa. I mean, midirabanan, of course, you can't do it. Midiraisa, it's not a malacha. So, what about makalkel b'havara? Havara is where you're burning something. In burning something. So that's a machlokus, whether makalkel b'havara is chayev or not chayev. Due to the nature of havara itself. So it could be that, since the nature of this activity, Havara is to burn something, so in and of itself it's basically destroying something. So do we say that that's an exception to the rule? Why no? Even in this situation it can't be makalkel. So makalkel in this situation would be pata. So what is Tosis addressing himself to? He's addressing himself to the issue of why would the execution of convicted individuals, killers, whatever, chayav misa for, why would their execution be considered aser on Shabbos midiyaraisa, on the diyaraisa level? Because obviously, you got to look at the activity, right? And see whether it's mekalkel. On the surface, it would seem to be mekalkel. So the first point that Tosfos is pointing out is that with regard to Havara, if he's going to be killed by burning. Now, the burning that we utilize is a different kind of burning. We don't immolate him from the outside, but you pour hot molten lead down his throat, and you burn out the insides. He says, b'sreifa nicha. In terms of sreifa, it's not a problem to show you why you're doing an activity which would be a malacha on Shabbos. Even according to the one who says Makalkil, Bavar is Pachas. So according to everybody, if the death over here is death by burning, which means that they pour something down his throat, Pata de Yeshba Chil Shavas Mishum Psila. The Amar Mali Bishal Psila, Mali Bishal Samamanim. Because the Chiyav, his Chayvas would be from the bishul. What they did was they would first light up a wick. You see? And that's not destructive. That's a positive phenomenon to create this burning wick. Then they'd use it to heat up the lead, and they would pour that lead down his throat. So in the course of performing the execution, you have an act of sreifa, which creates something positive. That's the wick, the psila. So that's the first point of Tosfos. That Tosfos is establishing that with regard to one of the forms of killing, with regard to the execution known as sreifa, even according to the one who says in general that sreifa, mekalkel b'sreifa, is putter. In our case, they both agree that the execution by sreifa would incur a violation of Shabbos, because part one, in which you light the psila, creates a psila, creates something positive according to both sides, you see, and therefore you're going to be involved in chil Shabbos. The bishul over here, he's saying that bishul, by the way, it's an interesting point, bishul you associate with cooking, you know how to cook, but he says this too would be bishul. What's the definition of bishul? That is to say, for example, let's say you take a piece of metal and you put it in the fire to heat it up to the extent where you can twist it and turn it. So is that an isser of bishul?
Seems to be.
It is. Mm. Yeah. So now you define bishul. What does that have to do? How do you bring it into line with, say, cooking an egg? It means to say that bishul is not cooking as we know it. We associate cooking with production of food. That's not bishul. Means to bring about a change. Yeah, a change in the nature of the substance through the fire. So food, whether it's food, or it could be other things that we utilize. You heat it up and then it produces a change which has a purpose. So that would also be bishul. So therefore, Tosfos has shown you that the execution known as sreifa, according to all sides, would violate the Shabbos. However, the problem is with the other chayve misos. So Tosfos says, "Ubishar chayve misos nami." According now with the other chayve misos, afilu maniyama the mekalkel b'chabura. Mekalkel b'chabura. What's chabura? Chabura is wounding someone. So there too you have the same machlokus, whether the wound is only if it's constructive, as when a doctor is operating. So it's a wound, but it's for constructive purposes. Well, what about mekalkel? You're just hurting a person for no positive benefit. So one second. So which category would... So according to the one who says mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv, so it's not a problem. So now we understand why you can't execute on Shabbos, right? Because it's a chavura. All choking, stoning, and sword, all these is chabura. There's no question about that. And all of them, however, are makalkil. So if the person holds makalkil b'chabura is chayiv, it's not a problem. But what about the man who holds makalkil b'chabura is putter? So Tosfos says, hacha chashiv tikun, the yesh lo kapara. That's his chiddush. What's the definition? So Tosfos says something I guess nobody would have thought of. That even the man who holds that this is makalkil, and therefore, if you just did this stam to another Jew, you would be putter because it's makalkil. But in this context, it's tikkun. Why is it tikkun? The yesh lo kapara, because he has a kapara. He has a kapara. That is to say, something. A point we've mentioned all along is that the execution is not just a matter of killing or revenge or whatever, that indeed the one who's executed has a kapara. And that's why we send along Talmid HaChamim when he gets to the execution place. It's not the only reason for the Talmid HaChamim. One reason, of course, is in case somebody comes up with a tam to show that Bezdin made a mistake, a recall. But other than that, when they get close to the execution place, they instruct them to do vidui. Because Kalamumsin Misvadin. All of the executed people are supposed to do vidui, and they have a kapara. So therefore, the execution actually functions as an atonement. So it's a saying. So according to everybody now, it's not makalkel. Why? Because of the tikkun, which comes about as a result of the atonement. The difference between this, say, and Soser Almanas Livnos, is you have a similarity. That is to say that the act itself is an act of kilkel. And it's being done for the sake of something which is positive. I don't think it's identical, though. And this is a chiddush, because there, the almanas livnos factors into the very activity of the soser. It's a different type of soser. It's a constructive activity in and of itself, because it's connected to the binyan. So it's part of this ascholas binyan, so to speak. So it's not like you're doing something destructive, but as a result of this, something good will come. No. But here, the thing, the activity itself is an activity from the standpoint of the physical aspect of the activity, it's clearly a kilkel. However, the purpose is a kiyum. The kiyum is that there's a kapara, which is in a completely different realm in terms of the neshama. So that's what the what Tosfos was grappling with. And Tosfos said that even though it's not considered to be any tilkel, any kind of a tikkun from the physical aspect, and that's really where malacha is, as in the case of Soser and Boner, it's all part of a physical process. So you could say that l'chatchila, to begin with, he's involved in creative activity. This is the beginning of the creative activity by tearing down. But here, it's not creative activity from the standpoint of the physical aspect of the malacha that he's involved in. But so let's say, however, that there's a kiyum. That the kiyum, however, is completely separate from the conduct of the physical activity, the physical realm. Is that also considered to be tikkun? Does that remove it from the category of makalkel? So Tosfos chiddush is yes. Yes. Which means to say, so what's makalkel? Makalkel means where the activity does not produce any positive kiyum, any positive purpose. It's a purposeless thing. It's destruction purely for destruction. It's not destruction for the sake of any positive kiyum. But where there's destruction for the sake of a positive kiyum, and even in a case where it's destroying the physical for the sake of the kapara, that's considered to be sufficient to remove it from the category of makalkel. So therefore, what Tosfos is really resolving over here is that because the Gemara is saying you can't execute on Shabbos because it's Chilul Shabbos. But why is it Chilul Shabbos if it's Makalkel? So Tosfos is telling you that the element of Kapara, which takes place when a person is executed by the Beis Din, is sufficient to remove it from the category of Makalkel. That's the whole idea of the